Then I look back through the church and I see Abby pregnant with her second baby. Should not be possible. Then I look back another seat and see Stephanie having a little girl who should not be possible. And that's just having babies. Them are just big. Them are good things. You know what I mean? Them are good things. But then I see others that God has spared you. He spared you through disease. He spared you through tragedies. His grace is sufficient. I mean, you just can't beat him. It's not been long ago that Bill stood and testified about the answer or the anniversary of getting his new kidney. Well, that wasn't last week. Now it's done been several years, and God has blessed. I just want you to know that we don't go unnoticing these things. These are big things that the Lord does. And we see them, and them are physical. But yet Butler stood and told about the spiritual miracle, not just the physical miracle, that he was once blind, not eyesight, but spiritually blind. But now he sees. And I see that miracle on every pew. I see, I can say that. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I did not know Christ, but now I know Christ. He has made a change in me. So there is miracles. So I'm glad that the Lord is able to do. You can't beat him. You just can't beat him this morning. Our heart is heavy in a lot of ways this morning. I rejoice in the greatness of God, but yet my heart's heavy because of the needs of people's hearts. It's not just that people need the Lord, it's people don't realize they need the Lord. That's the saddest part. Going through life and blinded, going through life, deaf unto the voice of God, hardened hearts and evil abounds. And it's no different here in this church house today. See, I'm persuaded today that there are many people that are saved here this morning. I'm persuaded of that. But also am persuaded that there's many, many, maybe not a multitude, but there'll be some that'll go to hell. If the Lord comes, there'll some of you'll go to hell today. I believe that. I believe some of you is lost. I believe there's some downstairs that's lost. You say, well, Mark, you're judging. No, I'm just being realistic. All right? Just because you go to church don't make you saved. Just because you even know the right words to say don't make you saved. Somewhere you're going to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I've studied many, many times. I've wanted to just go through the scripture, and I may do it someday and just preach. It'd take a year or two to do it on Sunday morning and just preach on the personal encounters with Jesus and the differences that was made. If you just started in Matthew and went through at each personal one, and you find them of every walk of life. I mean, I've thought of the man born blind that Brother Dave was talking about the woman at the well, the Syrophoenician woman who come to Jesus over her son, Jairus. I mean, you just go through Nicodemus. You can go through and pick individuals and preach Sunday after Sunday after Sunday of the changes that Christ made in people when he met them personally. But then we could have everyone stand and testify. Would you testify? I mean, if I would ask you, would you testify this morning? Give me your personal encounter when you met Christ. Where was you when you met Christ? Go ahead, John. Go ahead. Yeah. There's a personal account right there. See, we have them. And I want you to have that today. See, I don't know whether you have that or not. Many, many people say, well, my dad was good. My mom was good. Well, that matters not. I mean, I'm tickled they was. I'm glad that you come from a good home. But a good home does not take you to a heavenly home. You've got to know Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 12. We want you to read with us here. Luke chapter 12, we're going to read down the first 9 verses. And then we're just going to simply give you a message of it's just going to be a simple plea. We're going to beg you this morning. That's what we're going to beg you. We're just going to do our best to beg you this morning to know Christ. That's the best way I can say it. I'm not here to be popular. I'm not here to tickle you and make you feel good. I'm not here to pat you on the back and tell you how good you are. I'm here this morning to warn you. I'm here this morning to try to tell you how much you need Christ. What's going to happen if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? The most important thing you can do is be saved. That's the most important thing you can do. It's the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not you get saved or not. And you need to be truly Bible saved. You need Christ. That's what you need. It's not by works. You are not good enough. I want everybody to look at me first before we read this morning. Look at me. You are not good enough to go to heaven. Listen carefully. You are not good enough to go to heaven. Number two, you can't be good enough to go to heaven. There's nothing you can do to be good enough to go to heaven. You understand that? All right? There's nothing you can do in works. There's no money that you can pay in regardless of the amount. There's nothing you can learn. There's nothing that you can achieve to go to heaven. You must receive Christ as your Savior. That is not baptism. That is not communion. All right? That is not laying on the hands of by someone. It is by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary that He died for your sins according to the Scripture. How that He was buried and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And you must place your faith, all of your faith, in that fact and receive Christ. Admitting that you are a sinner and trusting Christ as your Savior. I don't know how to say it any simpler than that right there. You need that today. Let's pray, then we're going to read some scripture and then preach to you just for a moment. Father, I come, and Lord, you are most wonderful. Every time I call on you, you seem even more wonderful than the minute before. And there's nobody great like you are. You're almighty, you're all power. You are my Savior. You are the only Savior. And Lord, I'm asking you to cleanse me anywhere I failed you, anywhere that I've brought you shame, anything that I've done since we've last spoken this morning. Lord, that entered my mind. I'm sorry. And ask you to help me to stand here today. Cleanse me that I preach the way you want me to preach. As everyone listens, as everyone hears, Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will speak into our heart, not just our head, but speak into our heart. And Lord, I pray that you would save the lost among us this morning, that you might rekindle the fire in the believer. And Lord, please help us to be more like you, I'm praying. And thank you for it all. Thank you for this blessed Bible. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and this is Jesus speaking, and he's giving a warning. He's giving a warning here, and I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to reiterate this warning, but this is the warning of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. This is what he said. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Well, that's interesting. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is simply pretending to be something that you're not. There's many today that pretend like they're going to heaven and they're not. They pretend that they're saved, but they're not. They know the right words, they know the right actions, but it's only in the presence of other Christians. They're only in the church house on Sunday morning. But there's no change in their life, no change in their mind, no change in their belief. He's not made them a new creature. They're hypocrites. And there's many hypocrites all around. It says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Very interesting passage of scripture. Jesus is speaking. We're going to stop right there at verse 9. We could go on, but it's not necessary at this moment. But I want to call your attention to just a couple of things again. Verse 1, when it says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You need to just go ahead and show your true colors this morning, just what you are. Are you saved this morning? Have you been born again this morning? Can you go back to the spot that Jesus Christ come in your life and made you brand new? Do you remember when you were in darkness and he brought you to light? Can you remember when you was just a wicked sinner, but you come to Christ telling God, I'm sorry for my sins and I believe on you as my Savior? Do you know that? Can you go back to that? Have you had that experience with Jesus Christ? Have you passed from death into life? When he changed everything about you from the inside out, do you have that this morning? Or are you a hypocrite? Or are you a hypocrite? Let's go even further and say, yes, preacher, I am saved. But yet you don't live like it. You don't act like it. You don't walk like it. You don't talk like it. You're a member of a church. You've been saved. You've been born again. But you sure can't tell it by the way you live. Your speech don't sound right. Your actions don't look right. Your path is not the one that you're walking, ain't the one you ought to be walking on. Huh? You say things you shouldn't say, listen to things you shouldn't listen to, go places you ain't got no business going, but yet you say you're saved. Well, I say it's you're a hypocrite. You say that you believe the Lord, won't read his Bible. You say you believe in the Lord and you trust him, but you won't pray to him. You say that he means everything to you, but everything comes before him. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. And Jesus warns and says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware. Beware. That's what he said. And then it goes on and says this. It says in verse 5, it says, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Jesus is warning. A lot of people are afraid to die. Some are afraid to the way things are in the world is you're going to get persecuted or you never know when somebody's going to come in and shoot you. You never know when you're going to be in a store and they're going to rob a store and shoot you while you're standing there in line at Go-Mart or food line. You don't know what, I mean, people crazy. That's not true. I mean, people are nuts. I mean, to go into your home, and you just never, you don't never know what's going to happen. In fact, there's a feller being tried now. The families of the people that he killed is trying to get him in jail. Man sitting in his house. Here comes 3 men in his house to burglarize him. They come in, and they ain't just going to steal. They come in to do bodily harm. Well, he just killed all 3 of them. And now all the families are upset because these boys, some of them wasn't of age. They was under 18 years old. So now they're all upset because he killed them. Well, they didn't have a lot of choice. But you never know. You could be sitting there watching Perry Mason, Andy Griffith on your TV, drinking a glass of iced tea, and here comes somebody right through your door. You don't know. And Jesus says, don't worry about that. Worry about when you die, the one that will take you and say, depart from me, I never knew you, and send you to hell. That's the one you need to be worried about. You understand? And this morning, that's what I want you to be warned of this morning. Don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell this morning. Please. Please. You know, we're being sidetracked. We're being sidetracked. Even with Charlie Kirk being murdered, we're being sidetracked from the main thing. Charlie Kirk, a Christian man, went around, as everybody knows, went around, and whether you like him or not, if you don't like him, you ought to get right with God. But then that's just another message, but that's just a fact. You got the liberal left that now said it was hate crime. No, it's not hate crime. Let me tell you what's hate crime is not telling you the truth. That's what a hate crime is this morning. All right, so I'm going to tell you that so live stream can see it and the internet can have it and everybody else can know, all right? But he would give the gospel. And now everybody, now instead of looking at the message of the gospel, now they're looking at why he was murdered. And all the focus is getting off of what he tried to get people to focus on, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ. You hear me today? It's in the church house that the devil is trying to get you sidetracked from seeing that there is a literal burning hell that lost people are headed to. He's trying to get you sidetracked this morning that if you're lost, that hell really ain't real, that you'll have plenty of time. You don't have plenty of time. There's not but a step between you and death. You're not promised tomorrow, and your people are not promised tomorrow, and hell is real, and hell is hot. And Jesus said, be warned about him who will send you to hell this morning. Because of rejection of Jesus Christ. What do you have to do to go to hell? Absolutely nothing. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Do you understand that? All you need is to be born to go to hell and not be born again. That's the only thing you have to do to go to hell this morning, is just do nothing. Believe what you want to believe. Act the way you want to act. Just don't let nothing bother you, and for sure you'll go to hell. Are you hearing me this morning? You need Christ in your life. You need to stop where you're at and turn from the direction you're going and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Amen. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go to hell. Yeah, hear me carefully this morning. Somewhere you got to pay for your sin. Listen to me. You're a sinner. The Bible plainly says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is but one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody's born that way. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. That's everybody. You understand that this morning? The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, that there is not a just man upon this earth which doeth good and sinneth not. There is nobody that is not a sinner. You understand that? Nobody. And you are either going to have to go to hell to pay for your sin, because that's going to have to be done, or your sin will have to be paid for in Christ. That's the only way to deal with your sin. Either go to hell or trust Christ. Nothing else will atone. Nothing else. It'll either be paid for in hell for eternity, or paid for in Christ for eternity. I'm going to take Christ. I'll take Christ. He's the one. He's the one who died in my place. He's the one who became sin for me. He who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteous of God in Him. He is the one that I believe on to have everlasting life this morning. But please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell, but I don't know the people's understanding. Our minds are dulled. Our hearing is dulled of hearing. Our eyes are dimmed of seeing. We have eyes and see not, have ears that hear not. We have hearts that are hard and won't believe. We'll believe everything but the Bible. We'll believe everybody but the Bible. We'll believe everybody on a talk show, everybody on the TV. Huh? We have got to the point that we're going to professional athletes and movie stars for our advice, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would I go to someone who's been married 15 times and ask them marriage counseling advice? Why would I go to someone who's been in and out of addiction facilities to know how to clean my life up? Huh? Why would I talk to someone who's an embezzler of money to talk to them about how to save money? But that's where the world's going for advice. And why would I go to someone who lived like hell, looks like hell, and trying to drag people to hell, but if they mention God, oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And that's where I'm going to get all my spiritual advice. That's stupid. That is stupid. I don't know how much simpler to say it, but that's stupid. Huh? And if that's what you do, you're stupid. Do you understand that? I'm not being trying to be cruel, but that just, I mean, you have no brain at all. You need Christ. You need Christ. But that's what we're seeing today. Huh? Times are hard. There's no doubt about that. And things are evil. Huh? People are more worried about the dollar. We're more worried about the dollar. Our minds are on the economy all the time. Our minds are on who is president and how it's going to affect us financially. People look and try to dig up something that'll get our mind on off of the things that matters and on the things of a dollar. Amen. That's what we're worried about. Do you know, everybody's worried about Social Security. Right? Well, if you die today and you ain't drawing, guess what? You never will. You know that? If you ain't drawing Social Security and you die today, you ain't never going to draw. It don't matter whether it's broke or not. You realize that? Can I tell you this? Hurry up and draw it. It ain't enough to live on. Hurry up and draw it if you want to. Hurry up and retire. Huh? What are you going to do? Huh? What are you going to do? I believe I would be concerned about what's awaiting me in eternity. Huh? Me and Brother Butch was talking this morning. He was talking to a man that was told Butch. He said, boy, said wait till you get old as me. You'll just be glad you're getting around good as you are. Butch said, well, how old are you? He said, I'm 67. Butch said, well, he said, if I ever get that old, I reckon I'll worry about it. Butch is 82. Listen to me. We better be concerned about eternity. You need to be concerned. Listen, I'm not here gloom and doom. I'm here to tell you, you may die today. And if you die today without Christ, to hell you'll go. What's more important than that? Huh? What's more important than that? Are we okay this morning? Please, please don't go to hell. Go ahead, Jeremy. I'm going to read you some scripture, and I just want you to see some things. Please don't go to hell. Parents are promoting things, you know. Everybody get ready. I'm going to make you mad this morning. Everybody ready? Everybody's promoting Taylor Swift and all of her songs. The filthy, vulgar, filth. And we're wanting our little girls to grow up and be like Taylor Swift and Jennifer Lopez and all the sexual acts and all this stuff. Please don't go to hell, because I'm afraid you're leading your people to hell and you're going to hell yourself. You can't live like that and believe like that and be a Christian. I'm sorry. It don't work that way. Quit being naive this morning. It don't work that way. Huh? You can't peddle liquor and be a Christian. You can't drink it to be a guzzler and a drunkard and go to heaven. The Bible said no. Be not deceived. You can't do it this morning. It's what the Bible says. Huh? You don't believe it? Well, let me read it to you. What the Bible says. Huh? The Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor idolaters, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. You can't take it out. You can't make it believe anything else. You can't make it say nothing else. That's what the Bible says. Amen. What it says. You say, well, I used to do that. Well, I did too. But it goes on and said, but, and such were some of you, but you're washed. Yes. And you were sanctified and you're justified. Hey, there's got to be a change. Yes. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. Church people, getting ready. I go by your house, like me or not, I go by your house and see you decorating for the devil's day. I see you believers. You say you're a believer. I think you're a hypocrite. And you're decorating for the devil's day. Satan's day. Oh, it don't hurt. We done it when I was a kid. Well, you was wrong when you was a kid. And your parents was wrong. And my parents was wrong. Wrong's wrong. Go ahead. Do what you want to do. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Believe what you want. Go to hell. Ha! But to go to heaven, you're going to have to turn from the way you're going. Please don't go to hell. Go ahead. Put your little ghosts and goblins and vampires and all your people. I've seen them spending thousands of dollars on stuff for Halloween. That's stupid. That's stupid. That's stupid. It's ungodly. You do what you want to do. Trick or treat if you want to. Go ahead. You won't praise Jesus in church, go ahead and praise the devil down at your house. You won't stand and lift up holy hands, but you'll go ahead and decorate for him down at your house. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's your business. I'm just telling you it's wrong. Amen. I'm just telling you it's wrong. It's wrong. It's always been wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. Amen. It's sin. It's sin. It's sin. He said, well, it don't matter. Yes, it does matter. Please don't go to hell. I can see a lot of you must be decorating. Go ahead. Tell your kids it's okay. Won't you go ahead and just tell them to go to hell? Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Huh? We sending our young girls to their dances. Go ahead. You're running their dress up so far. Huh? You got 12-year-old girls going to a dance that ain't got no business going to, dressing like some harlot on a corner, that if they bend over, you're going to see everything they got and say, well, my little one ain't going to do nothing. What did you do? Let me ask some of you guys, some of you women, huh? Let's go back 50, when you was 50, when you, the ones that's 50 years old now. When you was a teenager, what was on your mind at 13 and 14? It wasn't playing with Tonka trucks. That ain't what was on my mind. Huh? How old are you in the seventh grade? Somebody tell you. Tell me. How old are you in the seventh grade? 12, 13? When I was 12 and 13 years old, at Nuttall High School, all right? At Nuttall High School, that it was normal to have sex in the seventh grade. They were getting kicked out of school for skipping class and going down behind the Nuttall School on the nature trail to have sex in the seventh grade. Amen. Go ahead and let your girls wear their dresses plumb up to their waist. Not my business. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. He said, Mark, you shouldn't say that. Well, somebody's going to have to say it. I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor. I'm responsible. And I'm going to tell you, you live the way you want to live. You do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. That's your business. But it's my business to tell you it's wrong. It's my business to tell you it's sin. Any boy, any teenage boy that gets up close to a girl with tight clothing on, you're not going to be thinking of ice cream at the Dairy Queen afterwards. Can I be any plainer? I can. Do I need to be? Listen, I'm not mad at nobody. I'm just telling you, well, our mind, our focus have been drained and our thoughts have been took away from the truth of the hour and the truth of the day. And men and women and boys and girls are going to hell this morning. You, some of you are going to hell this morning. Huh? It's true. It's true. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Americans rising up again, Americans. Huh? Trying to lose our focus. Huh? Trying to pitch man again man, woman again woman. Trying to pitch everybody against everybody. Do we not understand? Do we not see? Huh? That the time is drawing close and the enemy is trying to get his attention away from what's happening. That you are lost without God, without hope. You need Christ. Huh? You need Christ. You need Him this morning. You need Him. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. I'm going to read some scripture. It's not going to be on the wall. You can look with me if you want to. But I want what's on the wall to stay there. Huh? In Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And hell hath enlarged herself. Hell hath enlarged her. Why? Because there's more going to hell than ever before and ain't enough room. Hell hath enlarged herself. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Matthew chapter 5. Man, I know I'm not popular this morning. That's okay. I love you. You got to deal with the other. Matthew chapter 5, verse 29, if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." How are you hearing me? Look in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Is everybody still listening to me this morning? Don't turn me out. Don't turn me off this morning. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Mark chapter 9, verse 42 says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." Every time I read that scripture, it says, "And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him." Every time I read that scripture, I think, I've told you here, it ain't been that many months ago, I told you about years ago when I pastored up at Mountain Baptist at Carl, about the two little girls that was saved in Bible school, and the mommy said, "They'll never come back. They'll never come back to this place." I said, "Please don't do them that way." I explained to her, I said, "They got saved. We didn't pressure them. They come to us wanting to believe on the Lord Jesus, and we led them to Jesus, and they're wonderfully saved." And she said, "No, no, no, they'll never come back." I said, "Please don't do them like that. Please let me get them. No, they'll never come back." And with 2 weeks, not 2 weeks later, she was turned upside down in a car burning, and the neighbors heard her screaming. She had been out in a night of sin, and she went too far, and the car burnt up, and she screamed and went out into eternity. "Don't you tell me this thing ain't true. Don't you tell me." Huh? And it was years later, I was holding revival at New Hope up on Fenwick Mountain, and a young girl come to me holding a baby and said, "Hey, Preacher Mark, how you doing?" I said, "Good." She said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I said, "I do not." She said, and she told me her name. She was one of them little girls. She said, "I'm in church and my family's in church, and I'll never forget what you done for me." Listen to me this morning. This is not junk. This is not stories. This is not scare tactics. I'm trying to tell you this morning, I want you to understand, please don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go to hell. Please, please, please don't go to hell this morning. Don't go. Please don't go. It goes on and says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. For it's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into a fire that's never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter to the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. 2 Thessalonians, listen to me carefully. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, it says, verse 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power." Huh? Are you hearing me? Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Look at our lost list, huh? Look at our lost list. People say, "Oh, don't say nothing about the lost list." Oh, how about Brendan Willis and Stephen Pat's family and Adam Bride and Richard McClum and Brenda Bennett and Justin Salters and George Hill and Pete Tawney and Terry Fairchild and Toby Hoskins and Karen Cottrell and Brian Drake and Mike and Tiffany Snodgrass and Joey Lesher and Brenda Bennett and Ben Dancy and Mike Paulot and Justin Smith's family and Victor Pond and Teddy Jones and Kenneth Gross and Rachel Morgan and Levi Singleton and Madeline McCumbers and Lynn Norris and Danny Billups and Keith and Ashley Smith and David and Susan Cripps and Jennifer Frame and Claudie Butler and Chad Crimmins and Toby Painter and John Wilson, and that's just the ones on that list. You want me to go in there and get the master list that some of you wrote down and we called out our names? When we gonna get back and have our eyes open and call out to Steve and Rick Sanfords and call out to Summer and Kate and call out to Billy and Bobby Johnson? When we gonna go back and call out Danny Brown? When we gonna go back and call the names of our people that's lost and quit acting like everything's okay, that people are lost and going to hell? Please don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go. Please don't go. Please don't go. I'm worried about Lloyd Harrell and Barry McMillan and Terry Oryx. I'm worried about them going to hell. I raised up with them. I love them. I preach to them. I witness to them. Oh, man, don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go to hell. Whatever you do, don't go to hell this morning. Huh? We can't hide it. I'm not going to hide it. Huh? You say, oh, they'll never come. They're not here. They're not here now. They're not saved now. I'm not making them more lost. I'm not going to make Karen and Jackson Tolley more lost and Chris Butler more lost and Adam Butler more lost and Derek Butler more lost. Dave ain't going to do it. I've been praying for him for years. Huh? Are we listening this morning? These are your people. These are your people. You say, oh, well, that you shouldn't say. Why? If they had cancer, you'd want me to say their name. If they was laying up on life support, you'd want me to call their name. Let me tell you, it's worse than that. They're lost. They're going to hell this morning. And you this morning, if you don't know Christ, you're lost. Please don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell, Mike Postlethwaite. Please don't go to hell, James Foster. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Please don't go to hell. Are you hearing me this morning? Huh? Huh? Please don't go to hell, Mike Johns. I don't want you to go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Are you hearing me? Huh? Why can't we don't even lay on the altar and pray? We'll lay on the altar and pray for a disease, but we won't lay on the altar and pray for the lost. We'll lay on the altar. Have y'all been on my mind, Rick and Beth, y'all been on my mind for weeks and weeks praying for Stephanie. Her health is bad, but that's not the problem, is it? That she lost. Her husband lost. Oh, if she would die with the disease, so be it. If you could say, I'll see you in the morning, honey, that she needs saved. Huh? Are you hearing me today? We've forgotten these things. Oh, well, they said, they've not been in church for 40 years. Get a hold of something. Get a hold of some truth. Be not deceived. Right. Huh? I'm concerned about little B in Brittany. I'm concerned, about Eric and Kim, my family. I'm concerned. I'm concerned. Cheryl shows me things they post on Facebook and beliefs. I'm worried about your family, Cheryl. Huh? Listen, I don't care what you believe. You can believe anything you want to believe. You can do anything you want to do and go to hell. It's your business. It's your business. But I'm worried about them. I'm worried about them. Religious people. There's so many religious. And rush home to drink their six-pack. They'll come to church on Sunday and run home to drink their six-pack of Bud Light like nothing's happening. Right. You better pay attention. Amen. You better pay attention. Yeah. Well, so-and-so told me it's okay. They lied to you. Yeah. And you tell me who it was and I'll tell them they're a liar.
Amen.
Huh? We okay? I want you to understand, this ain't a game. This ain't a game this morning. Huh? This ain't a game. I've done dealt with too many who have taken their life. I think years ago, I visited this couple. trying to get them to come to church. Finally, they said, okay, we'll come. And it was going to be two Sundays to the homecoming. I was at Mount Lookout then over at Mount Pleasant. I advised them. They said, yes, we'll go. Sunday after next, we're going to go to church with you. I said, wonderful. I left. That was on, I'm trying to think of what year. But anyway, it was not long before I come here. They eat their lunch. The woman, they had her six-pack for their lunch. They ate their sandwich. He had been mowing, and he said, I'm going to go finish mowing. She said, I'm going upstairs. And she took, there's three cans of beer left. She took her three cans of beer, went upstairs, stuck a .38 revolver under her chin, blew the top of her head off. Huh? All of her brains in the bedroom ceiling. They called me to come. Told me to come. She killed herself with the same gun her daddy killed himself with. Same gun. Same way. Huh? 2 weeks she was going to come to church with me. 2 weeks she was going to come to church with me. Now, later on, the husband did come. He made a profession. His daughter made a profession. His son made a profession. Right? Had him in this church right here in the old sanctuary. Listen to me. It wasn't long after they'd been in the old sanctuary over here that they called me to come, and the boy had locked himself up in a garage and asphyxiated himself with the fumes off his car. The granddaddy killed himself. The mommy killed himself. And the son killed himself. Three in that family. Yeah, their life's simple, ain't it? See, everything just happens, don't it? No, we better pay attention this morning. We better pay attention. Huh? Dealt with a man. It's funny. You know, we all remember Frank Heartless. Here I get a call to go down to a home. I go to a home. Frank Heartless, you know, Shirley, they used to come here. Both in glory now. I went by and got Frank. I said, Frank, something ain't going right down this house. I need to go. We go up there, and the truck's there, and a hose is pulled from the exhaust up into the cab of the truck. I said, oh, no. We go up there, truck's running. Nobody in the truck. I said, well, something ain't right. Hey, well, them mop-headed dogs. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Them little dogs look like a mop-head. Yappy dogs. You know, you can't see their face, and you don't know which end's which, and they'll bite you all the time. You know what I'm talking about? They had one of them dogs, and every time I go in and try to bite me, it bit me a couple times. And it's just like, one of them ones you just want to throw away, you know. Frank said, what are you going to do, pretty soon? I'm going to go in the house and try to find him. Went in the house, hollered, no noise. That dog hated me. That dog, I've been in the house many times. That dog tried to bite me all the time, bark, just annoying. Never no noise. I started hollering, going back through the hallway. Nothing. Frank said, you better get out of there. You better get out. I said, we're going to find him. Find him. Beat on the door, and bedroom door's locked. Beat on the door, nothing. I go back to call the police. Finally, the door opened. He then took a bunch of pills, and that dog knew I was trying to help, and that dog was my buddy from that day on. Never barked at me again. But it wasn't long to where he couldn't take life no more. And he tied a belt around his neck and hung it from the rod in a closet. And hung himself in the closet. That'd be a horrible death to just squat and hang yourself. Call me to come and take care of the funeral. Take care. Huh? Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? Life ain't always roses, and life just don't go on everybody. Life gets so heavy and people can't handle it, and sin comes in, and the next thing you know, you're in eternity. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. The people that's promised me to be in church, they've come in and sat back here where Jacob's sitting back here at the door, sat in the chairs with me and said, I'm just looking to see what see them going to sit in. But now they're in eternity. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell this morning. Are you listening to me? I'm about done. Huh? We look at our lost list. We look at our people. But I don't know that it moves us. Huh? I don't know that we're concerned. Huh? You're concerned enough to call me if they stub their toe. But you're not concerned enough to pray at the altar if they're going to hell. Because the enemy has got our mind somewhere else. Please don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go to hell. Matthew chapter 13, I believe it's where it's at. It says, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Huh? How about Psalms 145, verse 20. Are you listening to me this morning? Are you listening to me? Talk to me. Are you listening to me this morning? Psalms 145, verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love Him. Ain't that wonderful? But all the wicked shall He destroy. That's what the Bible says. How about Revelation chapter 20? How about Revelation chapter 20? Listen to me. This ain't my first time I've been a pulpit. This ain't my first day of pastoring. I've done this for 40 years, dealing with you and your families and your friends and your neighbors and your kinfolk and the people that I've worked with in my family. I'm telling you the truth this morning that people go to hell every day. Young people, old people, they go to hell. Rich people, poor people, smart people, dumb people. Listen, people go to hell constantly. Please don't go to hell this morning. Please don't go to hell. Trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him right today. Receive Christ today. You need Christ today. 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 Huh? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Chapter 21, verse 8 says this, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Huh? The description of hell is plain in the Bible. It's outer darkness. It's the lake of fire. It's a furnace of fire. Huh? It's a prison. It's a bottomless pit. It's wailing, gnashing of teeth, suffering, flames from the presence of God. Please don't go to hell. See, bad people go to hell, but so do good people. Huh? Family people go to hell. Your family, my family go to hell. Friends go to hell. Strangers go to hell. Old go to hell. Young go to hell. You say young people? Yes, young people go to hell. Huh? Are you listening to me? Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Come to Christ this morning. Come to Christ this morning. Are you understanding this morning? You say, well, preacher, what do I do? Get up out of your seat now. Run to Christ. You're lost. Run. Come on, Rick, Dennis, Becky. Y'all, come on, get up here. Get your Bibles ready. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up out of your seat and come and say, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That's what you ought to do this morning. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. They're going to help you. I'll help you. But you don't want to go from this place lost today. You say, oh, you've been too personal. Oh, I ain't been personal enough. I wished I knew your whole name, your social security number. I'd get right and call it all out to you and lay it all out to show you. You don't want to go to hell this morning. Your family don't need to go to hell. You've got family in hell. You ought to be on this altar praying for them and praying that God don't let them go to hell today. That's where you ought to be this morning. You got lost family. Don't you sit there. Don't sit there. You ought to be on this altar begging God to save them. You got family sitting beside you that's lost. You're lost. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come and trust Christ right now? You need Jesus. Won't you come on this morning? That's what you need. That's what you need. Man, this ain't no game. This ain't no game. Y'all get ready. Here comes some of these Jesus right here. This family right here, man. Right here. Oh, come on. They need Jesus. They're lost. They need Jesus right here. There's more this morning. Won't you come? Won't you come? Right here. They need Christ. They're going to get saved this morning. Now, won't you come? Won't you come?